Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
In a cozy little restaurant for lovers, it seems so out of place for you and me. We used to play around under the covers, but now it's just a place to watch TV. So love me like you used to, when our love was brand new. And darling, when
Tonight we're talking about Southern values and what are Southern values, what does it mean to be born and raised in the South, especially when you're someone like myself, and going to interweave some Southern music, some classic Southern country songs that I remember and love, and hope you enjoy them too. If you want to call in and comment on anything I'm talking about tonight, you can call 323-843 6160, and I'm happy to take your call. So I was born in the South. I was born in Texas, and I've been raised in Texas all of my life, and I've only lived in Texas permanently anyway. And it is definitely its own country here. And, you know, Texas itself is a little different than other southern states. I mean, I think every southern state probably prides itself on its own identity, but Texas is the biggest state in the continental U.S., and it is the only state that was ever its own country at one time in the U.S. So Texans have a long, very proud history here, being Texan and being Southern. And it is something that is culturally sort of ingrained in everybody here to be proud to be a Texan, to be proud to be a Southerner. But when you think about things, when you think about what it means to be Southern and what it means to be part of the South and the history of the South here in the United States, it certainly can mean different things to different people, and it does to me as well. And I know that it's somewhat of a dichotomy, I guess. It's, you know, it's also something that kind of divides my allegiance. Because I'm a very liberal person, but I live in a very non-liberal place, and in terms of thinking, I mean. So is it are the two mutually exclusive, to be Southern and to be liberal, or to be Southern and be gay and Southern and be a racial minority, or Southern and to be anything other than what the South deems to be acceptable? So those things definitely create their own issues and their own, obstacles to overcome living here and being any of those things. And so I'm going to talk about that and talk about what it means also to be someone who is one of those things, and also live in a society that tells you being Southern is great. And there are some great things about being from the South. There are some really wonderful things. There are some really wonderful parts of the culture here that people over the world love about the South, but there are also a lot of really horrible things about the South as well. So, you know, it's very much, you know, there's the good side and the bad side, as there is to everything. But the South in and of itself has its demons and its angels. So we'll talk about that. So if you want to call in, once again, the number is 323-843-6160. I'm going to take a quick break, get a drink, come back and talk, and if you have something to say, feel free to call in. And also feel free to always check me out at offlimitsshow.com, or also at on Twitter or Facebook. I'm also on there as well, and I'm happy to add you or to talk to you there as well. So I'll be right back.
These feelings when it feels so hard to breathe.
come back. You want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. So for me, growing up in the South was interesting. But I want to talk first about what it means to be raised in the South, because, you know, I, despite all of the challenges that I have had having been raised here, I am a Southerner, and my family has a very, very, very long history in the South on both sides. And actually, they've been in the South as long as they've been in America. And, you know, I'll trace my family back, my family history back all the way to 1000-something, 80. And so I know where they came from in Europe and where they came from, you know, every on my mom's side, and every who they were and related to royalty and everything in those days. But once they came to the United States, they settled in Jamestown, and were one of the settlers in Jamestown and in Virginia. Was it Virginia? I think it was Virginia. Is that the Virginia or South Carolina or something like that? Anyway, I have to look it up. But anyway, they were one of the settlers of one of the first major settlements in the United States, and they were one of 100 or one of 10 families that were there and helped found it. And so since then, they've been in the South. And I looked at my family history, and you know, my immediate family's been in Texas for many generations, and my dad's side as well has been in the South forever. So I have very, very deep roots here in the South. And to say that I'm, you know, someone who is deeply rooted is an understatement. Anyway, so being Southern is, and of itself, you know, an experience, and it does make you understand things differently or look at the world a little differently than someone who isn't raised in the South. Someone who's raised in the West, United States, or someone who's raised in the North would have different outlook on life, I think, generally. And, you know, I was raised, my mother was a typical Southern woman. My grandmother was a very Southern woman. Her parents were very, very Southern. I mean, just talk about the long drawls, the draws and the East Texas accents. You know, we had all that in my family, and the majority of my family is from East Texas. And so I grew up in, you know, in Dallas, but I'd spend my summers in East Texas. And so I certainly had kind of soaked up the milieu of that environment. But the funny thing is, I never developed an accent at all. I don't know why. I'm the only one in my family who didn't have an accent. I think maybe when I was young, I consciously knew or noticed that my family sounded different than other people. Like, because we would go from Dallas to East Texas and back and stuff, and the people in East Texas sounded very different than the people in Dallas. And so I think, you know, even at like 5, 6, 7 years old, I probably made a subconscious choice not to sound like my family. But of course, I know a lot of Dallasites who don't sound anything like Texans, who don't have an accent. So, and I'm one of them. And I am, but that doesn't change where I come from or who I am or who my family is. So anyway, being Southern, you know, has been a challenge for me. But what I wanted to say is, what does it mean to be raised Southern, though? I think that it means several things. I think, first of all, you know, on the positive side of things, being raised Southern means that you have manners, that you have respect for other human beings, and you have respect for people other than yourself, whether they're more wealthy, more powerful, less powerful, poor, you know, whatever they are, you have a certain decorum by which you live your life. And that means to treat people with respect and expect respect in return, and to not be overbearing, to not be rude, to have manners. Really, a lot of it is about having manners and being genteel, which means simply to be nice and to be kind and not to be loud, obnoxious, and rude. And, you know, it's sort of the opposite. Like, if you think of a New Yorker, the stereotypical idea of a New Yorker anyway, it's the opposite of that. So Southerners are people, and the other reason I think that is the reason that that kind of culture has developed here in the South is mainly because in the South, things move slower, and they always have. Even since, you know, the slavery days and before that, it's always been a slower pace because it's hot here, generally speaking, and people just take their time. They sit under the shade trees before there was AC, and there was They're large houses with large plantations and large cross breezes coming through these windows or open windows through large hallways, and that's why we have the kind of houses we did typically in those days. So we have everything, you know, is big here because there's lots of land and there's lots of space between, or there was before, you know, when it was kind of being founded here in the South. And so because there's so much space in between people, I think people developed, the culture developed so that they knew they had to depend on one another, that depend upon their neighbors and their friends and people that were near them, their family, because they didn't have a million people around them to depend upon. And so because of that, I think it's been instilled in the Southern culture, the Southern way, that you are kind to people and you rely on people, and you people who rely on you, you help them when they need help. So if someone asks you for help, you help them. Someone needs something to eat or something needs something somewhere to stay or whatever. You are kind enough to do that. So, you know, these are some of the really good points about being, or some of the good parts of being Southern, and some of the things that have been instilled in me. And any Southerner, anybody who grows up in Texas or Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas. I mean, Kansas is kind of middle America, but anyway, you get my point. So anywhere, any of these states, you run across these places, you'll see somewhat of a thread going through kind of the character in everybody. And I'm talking about the best of the people. I'm not talking about the worst. We'll get to the worst in a minute. But in terms of the best of the Southerners, you'll see that. And my grandmother was the epitome of a Southern woman, you know, in many ways, because she was a small, petite, 5'1", white-haired, blue-eyed lady that everybody loved to death. And everybody loved her because she had been instilled with all this sense of humbleness that she had. I think that's the word I'm looking for. I think there's a sense of humbleness that people from the South possess, that people from the Western United States or the Central United States or Northern United States or Northeast don't necessarily always possess, or is not necessarily instilled in them culturally. And I think that is the difference between someone who's Southern and someone who's not. Because my grandmother, for example, was not someone who would ever brag about anything, and she cared about everybody. She cared about no matter who it was. She cared about what, you know, if they were somebody across her path, she would help them, as I said earlier. She would help them in any way she could, a complete stranger. She always made more food when she made food in case somebody was going to stop by. I don't know who was going to stop by, but in case somebody was going to stop by, she always had more food available, so that if a guest came, she could serve them the same food that we had for dinner. Or she would always have a guest room available so somebody could stay over. I mean, she's always just the most hospitable person ever. And hospitality is the other, I think, keystone to being Southern. So you have humbleness, you have hospitality, I guess, and you have, I think, charm. I think charm is the other thing. And I don't think charm is something you can teach, but it is a way of life. I think it is, you know, in the South, I think being charming is somewhat of a, as I said about everything else, is also instilled in you. It's taught how to be charming, I think. And I'm not saying consciously necessarily, like it's not like we go to charm school or anything, or people here in the South are, you know, the parents are all saying, well, you be charming now. It's not like that. It's just because of the way of life and because of the things I've mentioned so far, it is somewhat of an instilled thing in us. So you meet somebody, and you say, hi, nice to meet you, or hi, nice to meet you, depending on where you're from. so you say, hi, nice to meet you, and you say hello, and you say, if you walk into a room and someone's sitting there that you don't know, you say hello to them, or you at least acknowledge them with a smile or a nod or something like that. You don't just pass by people and not acknowledge them or anything. So these are small things, seemingly, but they add up. All of these things I'm mentioning add up to what it means to be a Southerner, the best of what it means to be Southern anyway, certainly not the worst, which we're going to get to in a minute. So I think that being from a place where all of these types of things are instilled in people is great. I mean, I think these are all great things that I'm mentioning so far. These are great parts of what it means to be Southern. And, of course, I can't go on without mentioning food. Food plays an enormous role in being Southern. And that's why there's so many fat Southern people, because you know, Southern cooking is comfort food. That's what it is. And, you know, it's fried chicken or pie, you know, pecan pie or ice cream, or it's a million different types of foods, but it's all usually bad for you. And it's just comforting and reminds you of home, at least if you're from the South. And it is, and the reason I think it's comforting, one reason is because it brings people together, food does. And so people who are from the South know that, you know, when you're going to have a get-together, you're going to have food. I've never in my life ever had a get-together, if you want to call it that, or a party or something, a social event or anything, without food, because it doesn't make any sense to me, because I was raised where every time we had any kind of social event or activity, there was food involved, no matter what. So it is certainly a part of the culture as well. And my grandmother, for example, you know, as I said, she would always cook enough food for an army, and she would always cook enough for everybody in case someone was coming over. But even if you just came over for a few minutes and she hadn't cooked yet, or she already cooked dinner or whatever, she'd say, well, you want me to cook you some dinner, or do you want me to cook you something to eat, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. She would just get up and make you dinner. And so I think food is a way that people in the South represent love. I mean, that's how people in the South show love for one another, is by making something for someone else and bringing it to them. Like, for you have a new neighbor or something, you're going to make a cake or cookies or whatever, and bring it to them and say hello. And, you know, all of these things are things that I was instilled with, and I still try to live my life by, but it's very difficult in society today. You know, when I was raised by my grandmother, who's from a completely different generation, and of course by my mother, and so they are from two different generations, and all three of us from generations, different generations. But even still, you know, I still possess a part of their way of thinking about being Southern or whatever, because I was raised by them and grew up around them and my family. So even though I still possess that, it's hard to actually put it into use a lot of the times. Like, for example, I've had several new neighbors move in over the past 8-9 years that I've been in my house. And, you know, my instant reaction is, just naturally, is I'm going to write them a hello note and send them, I don't know, make a cake or cookies or send them a gift card or something, just to say welcome to the neighborhood, because that's how I am. And because that was what was instilled in me, and that's how I think, just automatically. And I've done that. And I've done that a couple times. And, you know, people kind of think I'm nuts, I think, because they're not used to people being that nice or that open or friendly or welcoming. And to me, it's just a normal thing. And it's weird that people look at that with suspicion instead of with gratitude. So it is difficult to actually live your life according to how you were raised when you're Southern in this day and age, if you are of a certain era. So anyway, next we're going to talk about the negative side of being Southern, and we'll be right back.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in the peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you.
keeps Georgia on my mind. The arms reach out to me, the eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Whoa. Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia,
I said just an old sweet song.
Half hour of the show. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. So I'm talking about what it means to be Southern and Southern values. And before I move on to the negative side of the Southern values, I wanted to talk about the fact that one more thing about having these kind of values instilled in me, kindness and thoughtfulness and consideration for the people, whatever. Has also made it difficult for me to sort of just move through the world in general because most people don't share these values at all. I mean, it comes to friendships, it comes to relationships, whatever, with anyone, it's still difficult to, it's difficult to have certain expectations of your own because that's how you were raised and how you treat people, and for them to not be met by other people because they don't have the same values as you do. So, even though I live in the South still and surrounded by people, I usually have more in common people who are older than myself for that reason, because the values that were instilled in me are kind of old-fashioned values about how to treat people. So I usually find myself with more in common oftentimes with people who are in their 50s or 60s and people who are my own age, which is a bit lonely sometimes, but that's the way it is. So on the negative side of things, the South has a very long history of slavery, bigotry, violence against people who are of different races, cultures, religions, or homosexuality or whatever the case may be. And the South is incredibly, incredibly religious, specifically Christian. Southern Baptist is very prevalent here, and there's very little tolerance for anyone different than they are here. It's there's the good old boy system still working its magic down here, and people still have to contend with that. And unfortunately, if you are someone who is, let's say, black or gay or Muslim or Jewish or something that's not the traditional, quote-unquote traditional, white, Anglo-Saxon, heterosexual, Protestant, Christian male, then you really are going to have a hard time really making a name for yourself. Now, it doesn't mean it's impossible here, but it's a lot harder for someone to make a name for themselves here that doesn't fit into what is considered normal here. Honestly, there's plenty of people here who, if they could have slavery, they would, or if they still could have Jim Crow laws, they still would. There's plenty of people here that feel that way. And plenty of people here who are afraid of people, minorities, for example, gaining power because they fear what will happen to them if they do. So unfortunately, there's still a lot of bigotry prevalent here. And, there's lots of hatred. And almost everybody in the legislature in Texas, for example, is a white, heterosexual Christian male. I don't know of any, maybe one or two, I mean, very few if any, that aren't that. I mean, there's a black woman, maybe one or two. Yeah, there's one or two. Eddie Bernice Johnson, and there's a couple of those there, and maybe a Jewish person, maybe one. But I mean, they're all tokens. They're sort of not really representatives of representational of the population here, or Hispanic population, or whatever the case may be. So, although you know things are changing because, as they are in all of the United States, the South is always, as it always has been, the last to adopt anything new or anything that is progressive in thinking. So here in the South, people are still fighting as hard as they can to keep things the way they once were, like, for example, 1958 or something. Instead of moving things forward, they're keeping things in the same place. So unfortunately, we still have to contend with that if you're someone who is not fitting into their mold. Now, if you're someone who is white Anglo-Saxon, heterosexual, Protestant male, then you will easily have – you'll have an easy time here. Easy time. And, you know, and I thought myself being gay, especially moving out of here for many, many times. But I never have, and I'm not going to. I've always said I'm going to stay and fight instead of skulking away. So, you know, it could be easy for me to move to New York City or San Francisco or any far more progressive city than Dallas, Texas, where it is highly conservative here. And actually, you know, it'd be much easier for me to succeed in my business and things that I've done here. Even though I've done okay, I would have probably done 10 times better if I'd done it in somewhere else. And that's unfortunately a sad reality of what it's like to be here and live here. And, you know, there's people still here who, I mean, on the news every once in a while, just last week there was a gay couple who was trying to get married, or have a marriage ceremony anyway. You can't get married legally in Texas yet, but have a marriage ceremony, and they were harassed, and people spray painted faggot on their fence and their car and everything else. And so, you know, that kind of stuff happens still. It happens to black people. It happens to gay people. It happens to even Hispanic people or anybody, or Jewish people or whatever, Asian people here. And of course that happens anywhere. It can happen anywhere. But it's just far more prevalent here, and still the seeds of hatred that have grown and festered, really, as a result of slavery and the civil rights era in the South, you know, still today have their legacy, you know, born. So unfortunately, we still have to contend with that bullshit. But as I said, I stay and fight. Every time I see an injustice, I fight. And so maybe that's why I'm here. That's what I always say. Maybe that's why I'm here still, is because if everybody left whom is a fighter for equality, for fairness, for justice, for those things, and a fighter against oppression and bigotry and prejudice, if everyone who were like that or like me in that respect left, then nothing would ever change. Then nothing would ever change. Things would stay the same. It's because of people like myself and people who are far more active, more of an activist than I am, and in Texas, who stay to fight the fight and to fight the Southern way, if you want to call it, the negative side of the Southern way, and really rise up and to change things. And as I said, things are changing. They're just changing slowly. And Texas is probably one of the worst, if not the worst, state for changing anything. And, you know, when it comes to gay marriage, even though 9 states have gay marriage, you know, Texas, it would not surprise me if Texas was literally the very last state to ever change the law to allow gay marriage. Now, you know, they probably are going to allow gay marriage anyway because it's going to be a national thing. It's going to have to come down from the national government. But I'm sure Texas will be the very last one to actually change. So that's just some thoughts on that. We'll be right back.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long as you wanted, and
you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I let myself worry? Wondering what in the crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
All right, so we are back talking about Southern values and the Southern way, if you want to call it that. And I've talked about what it means to be raised here in the South. I've talked about what it means to, you know, the negative side of being Southern if you're not part of the prevalent community. And hold on, sorry. I've talked about the good side of things as well, and you know, there's good things about it and there's bad things about it, just like there are everything else, and that applies to everybody, of course. So you know, there's many things about being Southern that are great, many things that are bad, but I want to talk about also some of the political unrest going on here as well. But we've got a caller, 832, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing? It's Brian Trebig.
Hey, how's it going?
It's okay.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great. What's going on? How can I help you? Do you have a comment or?
I'm here in Texas.
Oh, are you?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here in Texas. And I, well, first off, I have a show on Blog Talk. I rarely do, every so often. Mm-hmm. But I'm also running for president in 2016.
Okay.
Okay. And, I want to help out. What do you think we do? Do you have any political views about what can be done that can help us out?
Help who out?
Us as a human race.
Oh, you mean as president?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what your political leanings are. Are you Republican or are you Democrat? Are you independent or what are you?
I don't want to say any of that because I'm human. I'm trying to create simplicity in this whole thing.
So if you want to run as for president, are you going to run as what are you going to run as though? You have to pick a party, obviously.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say any of that because that's not important. The importance is to fix things.
What's your platform going to be then? You must have some kind of platform.
The platform is simplicity, to simplify things and to make sure that we all understand what's going on and to fix it and to learn from each other, from other countries, mm-hmm. and make it happen.
It seems kind of vague.
No, it's not vague. No, it's simplicity.
Well,
how vague is that?
Simplicity doesn't mean anything unless you have something to be simple about, or some, you know, there has to be something behind it. You can't just say, let's be all be simple and have simplicity. So tell me what that means.
Okay. Okay. Do you know 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3 is basic. ABC is basic. Mm-hmm. Also the square or the cube and the pyramid and the sphere is basic. It's all three things that are very basic in our reality, in our scientific reality. It's basic things. We all want to survive, right? Number one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We all want to be happy, and we want to do things that we want to do without hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, what else is there? Why do we have to make it complicated? So.
Well, there's a lot more to that. There's being safe.
Oh, okay.
There's safety.
Okay.
Safety,
oh, safety
for one.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
There's food and the hunger. People have to eat, obviously. You have to survive. And that,
well, yeah,
that's
all those are all basics. Yeah, those are all basic things. We all want to eat and be able to survive. That's all deals with that survival.
Mm-hmm. And so you think that's all there is? That's all that you think that's all that matters, is that?
The basics is all that matters. After that, we can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we are all able to eat and survive, after that, it's all personal preference.
Well, that's just it, though. I don't know about you. I'm glad that you're such a simplistic individual that that's all you need. But I don't think that most people are that way. I think most people are far more complex than that and need more than just the things you mentioned. You know, I think there's more to life than that.
For example,
people need to have not just these things. There's also a sense of accomplishment people need. It's a psychological need to have a sense of accomplishment. And unfortunately, that often means to some people, it means success, means, you know, material things. And so, and other people, it means family. Other people, it means, you know, just being able to survive and that's it. But I'm saying everybody's ideal for survival or, you know, success is different. So although you may feel that that's all you need and that's all that matters, someone else may feel differently than you. So it's hard to say that all we really need is just love and...
No.
You know.
No. I'm talking just the basics, just like what you need. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to eat and have a roof over your head. Mm-hmm. All the basics. I'm not being opinionated in this. I'm talking scientific, what we all need to survive.
But I think
that's the simplicity. Yeah, and everything else.
Humans need more than that, though. Even though I think you're saying the basics, yes, obviously there are basics that we all need, yes, like food, shelter, clothing, whatever. Those things we need, yes, as a human being, yes, absolutely, I agree with you. However, beyond that, being a human being, being a complex, sentient individual, we all need more than that emotionally. We have an emotional need beyond just basic needs.
Absolutely. And we should be, and also that we should have support into making that happen.
Mm-hmm. So what do you plan to do to make that happen?
Giving support to that. Saying, hey, you got a new thought, you got a new thinking about this, well, we should support you. And we should support everything that has an ability to make life better.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, well, the whole thing is that it's so complex about all the other countries, and we're all against other countries. Well, if another country has something better than us, we need to actually work on that. And they should learn from us if we have something better than them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a basic thing.
Yeah, it is basic. The only issue is, it's great what you're saying. The problem is it's not realistic. And the reason it's not realistic is because humans are assholes. Human beings have egos, and that gets in the way. So, for example, a country in Europe has an incredible, let's say Sweden, has an incredible school system, and they have incredible educational system. We have a shitty educational system, comparatively speaking. And so you're saying that we should work with Sweden, and Sweden should work with us to make our lives better and make our educational system better. And in that case, great. So Sweden's just going to take their time and their money to help the United States of America make our system better. No, they don't give a shit about
no.
it.
No. We just learned from them.
Mm,
we don't
okay.
have to take anything from them.
But we can do that now. Why is that going to change, or how would that change?
No, we would just say, hey, Hey, buddy. You know, I'm about to experiment with this. Well, you shouldn't do that because it blew up on me. Oh, really? Okay, cool. Maybe I should learn from you and not blow up. You know, it's just a friendly thing.
Well, I agree, but do you get what I'm saying? That I agree with you that, yeah, it's very basic. It's just having common courtesy for someone else, whether you're a country or a human being or whatever, and trying to learn from each other and grow and all that stuff. Yeah, I agree with all of that. But I'm saying that if that were such a simple thing to do, we would have done it thousands of years ago. We've had thousands and thousands of years of war and bigotry and hatred and prejudice and all these other things and disease because of people's egos. Because people wanting to take over other countries and other people.
There you go. Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that's
it's
not going to happen
now.
It's
about ego and making money. It's about ego and making money.
Yeah, but we know that already. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think to change that, though.
I just wanted to be out loud. It's about ego and making money. It's not about evolving the world.
Yeah, but you have no solution to actually make that occur.
Oh, to make it occur?
Uh-huh.
Well, we all just need to talk about it, like we're doing it right now.
So talking is magically going to solve the problem? Just talking?
Talking about it. Hey, how many people do you have listening to you?
Yeah.
Well, that is a thing.
But that's the problem. The people listening to the show or any show anywhere, whether it's on Blog Talk Radio or the big time like Sirius or whatever the case may be, if they're listening to those shows and people's ideas being exchanged, it can absolutely prompt them to take action. But the actual reality is people rarely do take action. They'll listen to these kind of shows, think about it for a while, go to sleep and not think about it again. They don't actually take action. So the actual thing is you have to actually take action, not just talk about it.
I know, and people are so busy. They're so busy trying to survive that they can't even do it. They are so busy trying to even make money for the government to even, they can't even go out and protest. They're just like, oh, there's a protest event on Facebook. I wish I could do that. I can't do that.
That's right.
I can't do it. I don't have time. And that's their agenda. That's their total agenda, to make sure that you don't have enough money or you don't have enough time to go out and protest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. We all need to realize that. The whole idea of just knowing that is important.
Right. Well, I wish you luck in your campaign, and I think it's a great novel idea, and hopefully you can get some traction with it. Good luck to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You let me go about this?
All right, so that was Brian. That was talking about his idea for running for president someday, and good luck with that, and I'll be right back.
Well, I remember it all very well. Looking back, it was the summer I turned 18. We lived in a one-room run-down shack on the outskirts of New Orleans. Didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least, we were hard-pressed. And Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing dress. Well, Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and then she painted my eyes and lips. Then I stepped into a satin dancing dress that had a split from the side cleaned up to my hip. It was red velvet trimming, and it fit me good. And standing back from the looking glass, there stood a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. Here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Mama, Dad, a little bit of perfume on my neck, then she kissed my cheek. And then I saw the tears welling up in her troubled eyes as she started to speak. She looked at a pitiful shack, and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. She said, your paw's runned off, and I'm real sick, and the baby's gonna starve to death. She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said, does thine own self be true? And I shivered as I watched the roach crawl across the toe of my high-heel shoe. It sounded like somebody else who was talking, asking, Mama, what do I do? She said, just be nice to the gentleman fancy, they'll be nice. where people came and took the baby. Mama died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate started to turn it for me. There was no way out. Wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mama been talking about. I knew what I had to do when I made myself this solemn vow. I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when or how. But I couldn't see spending the rest of my life with my head hung down in shame. You know I might have been born just plain white trash, but fancy words are my name.
By the writer herself, Dolly Parton. Be back tomorrow. Good night.
This was always my dream, to be out on stage singing my songs to people that love the songs and that love me. And of course, you know I will always love you. What a great idea for a poem! I think I'll write it and get it to Whitney. Thank you so much.
If I should stay, well, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you each step of the way.
But above all
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.